Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak in these moments. In our minds and hearts, I pray that we would hear your word and respond in faith and trust that you have us in your hands. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Religion is about rules. Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. Except that I look at the census form, and it says right there, religion. And you got Hindu, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity. It's one of the options. And Christianity has rules, so it must be a religion. What does Jesus say about this? It just so happens, on this question, he's asked specifically, which commandment, also known as rule, was the greatest? And Jesus went straight to the rule book, the law of Moses, which is found in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Old Testament. He quotes from Deuteronomy 6:5. A Pharisee lawyer runs up, trying to trap Jesus, because if he says one thing, he'll trap him with another one. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus responds by quoting Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is not a Jesus original. He didn't come up with this. This is from Moses. And he doesn't say anything about relationship. This is rule. According to Jesus, it is the rule. And if we want to follow him, we are commanded to obey it. Then he adds a second rule, which he says is like the first one, love your neighbor as yourself. Again, not a Jesus original. This is a quote from the law of Moses. Leviticus 19:18, God says there, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. I am the Lord. This we must do. Why? Because God is Lord, God is Master, and God says so, and that's all the reason we get. A lot of Christians are tempted to ignore Leviticus. The instruction there includes guidelines for worship that involve animal sacrifice. We do not kill animals in worship as a part of our devotion to God because we believe Jesus was the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. When he died on the cross, no further sacrifice was necessary. So we don't pay attention to the parts of the Bible that talk about that. So Leviticus gets disregarded by a lot of Christians, except for those really zealous ones who are on the read through the Bible in a year plan. And then they read through Leviticus quickly and Numbers quickly and Deuteronomy quickly so they can get to the interesting stories in Joshua and Judges. When Jesus was asked what mattered most, he quoted Leviticus and Deuteronomy. He gave rules, rules that were already in place. Love God and love neighbor. So is Christianity a religion, a rule, specifically these two rules? So many Christians base their faith on the relationship that they have with God and Jesus. So is Christianity a relationship? Dare we say it's both. We've been looking at an approach to church called growing young. And we've been looking specifically at the core commitments that are found in churches that are already successfully growing young. We've gone through the first five of these core commitments, and I think the sixth one might speak to this tension of relationship versus religion if that tension is really there, or maybe I've just set up a straw man. But there should be a slide. Do we have that slide with the six core commitments? Is that up there? There they are. There's the first four of them. By the way, you guys did a fantastic job in that responsive reading when it broke right in the middle of the thing. You were so dialed in, so I hope you'll be as dialed in here. The first core commitment in churches that are successfully growing young involves sharing leadership. In the Growing Young book, they call it keychain leadership, handing young people the keys to important leadership roles in the church. Growing young churches also show empathy. They empathize with the struggles young people face. Growing young churches, the older folks like us, like me now, I can be one of the older people, in the growing young churches, we don't say, well, back in my day. No, we emphasize with what young people today struggle with, even if it seems weird to us, it's difficulties they're facing, and so we empathize. Growing young churches take Jesus seriously. That means we prioritize the things Jesus taught. We prioritize the teachings about Jesus, and we prioritize the relationship we have with God in Jesus. Fourth, growing young churches foster an environment in which people can be in deep, true relationships with their peers and in intergenerational relationships. So we try to have a community of warm relationships. Last week, we looked at prioritizing young people everywhere. Everywhere in the church, young people are important, not just on Youth Sunday, but every Sunday and every aspect of church life. And finally, today's core commitment, growing young churches are good neighbors to the community. We want to follow that command to love our neighbor. We want to help people in our community thrive. We hope that many unchurched people will come to our church, that God will bring them in our doors. We hope that in the community, unbelievers see the ministries that we do and decide that's a prompt for them to put their trust in Jesus. Betsabe talked about the witness on campus of putting your trust in Jesus, people who never followed him before. We want to see that happen here. But whether or not we're successful in our evangelistic efforts, we want to be a force for God's good in our community and in the world. And there are many ways we're already doing this. Earlier this year, we built a ramp for a family. They just live about a mile from here. They couldn't afford to have that done. So we did that as a service to that family. We try to do at least one of those ramp projects every year. The middle school, which is just a block from here, uses our parking lot. We just let them do that as a good neighbor. They did that this past Thursday when they had their eighth grade promotion. And I looked out and saw all these cars in the lot, and I don't have an eighth grader this year, so I was like, what's going on? Oh yeah, last day of school, eighth grade promotion. We're also the site where if the middle school has an emergency and they need to evacuate the kids, we're the evacuation site. Numerous churches in our community use our facility for banquets and funerals. We charge for some of those events, but they're happy to pay it because we have pretty fair rates and they love working with Dina. She's really nice to them. And so it's great. Our Helping Hand ministry is there for people in financial emergencies. And these are just a few of the ways. We do other things to try to be good neighbors. Young people and unchurched people pay attention to the words we say about Jesus when they see us doing good in the world. Helping kids in Ethiopia get an education and job training skills through sponsorship and through mission trips, that's something we do. Sending backpacks loaded with needed supplies to extremely poor communities in Appalachia. Hosting big events like Vacation Bible School. We're not doing that this year, but we have in the past and we hope to in the future. The Chinese New Year celebration. We invite the community to these things. We invite the community to our special services like Christmas Eve and Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Easter Sunday morning sunrise service. We've got people that only come to our church on those days. In all these ways, we strive to obey Jesus' command to love our neighbors. Now, we can improve the way we do some of these things we've mentioned. Maybe we add ministries, maybe we do something new, but even if we just do what we're already doing a little bit better, we might magnify our effectiveness in showing our town what God is all about, what God's love is like. All these good works are examples of us as a family, as a community, trying to obey that command to love our neighbor. When love happens in a way that makes people's lives easier, relationships start to form. So there it is. Obeying the command is following the rule, but following the rule leads to relationship. And in the first place, we try to be obedient because of the relationship we have with Jesus. We want to obey because of what Jesus has done in us. So Christianity is a relationship, right? To be honest with you, I don't care if you say it's a relationship or a religion or both. The way I categorize our faith is the Christian religion. I participate in our religion through ritualistic practices like the taking of the Lord's Supper and baptism. These rituals, these rites, to me, are real and they mean something, but they are rituals, worship rituals. Through weekly worship, through reading a holy book, I try to show religious devotion to God. I succeed some days more than I do others. In this religion, which I believe is the path to God, I have found that because my sins are forgiven, God has adopted me as an adopted child of God. God is my heavenly Father. Therefore, I have a relationship with Him. My relationship with God is more important than any other relationship in my life. I am my best self as a husband, as a father, as a son and brother, as a friend and neighbor, as a pastor. I am my best self because of God at work in me, because I am a child of God. Because of who Jesus is, I want to follow Him. I want to understand and obey when He says these commands are the most important. Matthew 22 comes in a series of confrontations that Jesus has with religious leaders during that week between Palm Sunday, when He and the disciples ride into Jerusalem and what some call a triumphal entry. It's a preparatory time because He knows Good Friday's coming. And so in that week, He goes to the temple outer court every day to teach, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and those in Herod's court, they all know He's there. And in different ways, they try to challenge His religious authority because they can see it. They know He's from God and they feel threatened. They've tried to control people's lives, and to an extent, they've succeeded. These different groups function like different political parties vying for the soul of the nation. Then Jesus came along and severely criticized them because He could see the way they manipulated people through the control of the temple and synagogues and their knowledge of the law of Moses. Well, Jesus knew the law better than they did. He saw these leaders manipulating people with guilt and threats of expulsion from the houses of worship, and Jesus wouldn't have it. That's not the way spiritual leaders are supposed to act. Jesus helped people find their way to God through healing, through driving out demons, which are real, and teaching about the law in new ways. He drew listeners to God, whereas the leaders who contended against Him came between the people and God. If we are to be good neighbors, if we as the body of Christ are to help people come to know Jesus, we have to love the community as Jesus loved those who came to Him. When He quoted the Deuteronomy passage, the command to love God, He wasn't talking about a feeling. I mean, it is a feeling also, but it's more than just love as emotion or love as impulse. He meant love as a decision. To love God meant, and still means, to give oneself to God with one's entire person. Do we do that? How much of you does God get? How much of me does God get? Loving in this way, the way Jesus commanded, is a lifelong pursuit. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. It's difficult to give oneself entirely to anything. You could say about this guy, well, he loves golf. He's passionate about golf. Really? Passionate? Because do you know what that means when you say someone's passionate about something? We say that. That's an overused word. That's a really good word that's been overused, and I'm here to put a stop to it. When you say you're passionate about something, that means you love until it hurts. You love until you can do no other. Do we love God so much it hurts? In Bethsabe's testimony, she talked about being in love with Jesus. Are we giving absolutely all of ourselves to God? That's what Jesus says is the most important of the commandments. There's no option to follow Jesus and have Christianity be a small part of our lives. Loving God the way Jesus says we must is all-consuming. It is also directly tied to the second great command to love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Again, the verb used describes love as a responsibility. When we follow Jesus, we have to give ourselves fully to the care of our neighbors. We do this as a community and as individual believers. Jesus illustrated the point with the Good Samaritan parable, which is, Starlin talked about different places where this teaching of the two great commandments comes. Luke 10 is another place with the Good Samaritan parable. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews and vice versa, and so Jesus told a story in which the despised Samaritan is the one who saves the Jew fallen in the ditch. Whoever we come across is our neighbor. The answer to the question, who is your neighbor? It's whoever we come across. We give ourselves to loving in this way. This is the essence of the way God created human beings to live. And when we live this way, we see that we're fulfilling God's purpose for us as the crown of creation, the ones made in God's image. We were made for relationship. Relationships of self-giving love with God and with people. It's why we exist. When we come together as a group of Jesus followers and together commit to love our community in this way, we will show our neighbors Jesus. Seeing Him, some will see their need for Him and turn to Him in faith. We'll be a growing young church. We'll be a growing church, but most importantly, we'll be a faithful church. And each one of us will meet Jesus in this gathering. We will see Him in this place. Pray for our church. Ask God to help us grow young, and ask God to help us increase our love for each other, for Him, and for our neighbors. They are right outside our doors. Amen. As our musicians come up, I'm going to pray for us. You know, if you're here every week, this is a response time in worship, and one of the ways we respond is by singing. People, you can come to the front and pray if you want to. If that's something that helps you connect with God, you can kneel at these steps, look to the cross as the music is played. I mean, if we had the whole church come up and pray at the steps, that'd be okay. The musicians would carry it. I'll be at the front if you'd like me to pray with you. We have Diane at the back. She'll pray with you. But let your hearts be tuned to God at this time, and let God show you how in your life love of God and love of neighbor is gonna play out in very real specific ways. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd open our hearts to Your Spirit in this time. I know You're speaking to us. Open us so that we can hear You and respond in faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you